It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger, brought to you by Bottle Barn. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
It's time for the twice awarded, internationally awarded segment on radio we call California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn. My co-host, of course, Dan Berger, back with us. Hello, Sal.
How are you, sir?
I'm good. Today we're featuring Jay Pedroncelli, and, man, we love them. Good to see Julie again. Hi, Julie.
Hi there. Great to be here.
And Ed is here.
I'm the Ed and Pedroncelli. She's the Pedroncelli and Pedroncelli, but I decided to wheedle my way in there.
Explain. So what do you do at Pedroncelli?
I got my job the old-fashioned way. I've been married to Julie for about 27 years.
That'll work.
And I do sales and marketing for the winery.
Well, Kathy's my former wife, and she's we're business partners, and she's executive producer of the show. So.
Yeah.
Okay. So much to talk about here. Before we get into the whole Pedroncelli family and all the great wines they've done for so many years, Dan, you brought a rosé here from, what, New Zealand?
Yeah, New Zealand rosé. It's a little soft, a little sweet. It's from Mount Beautiful.
Which is like the sound of that.
An actual location in North Canterbury. North Canterbury is just to the north of Christchurch, which is still digging out after the earthquakes. North Canterbury is a region of Australia New Zealand that's going to be very well regarded in the next couple of years.
For rosé or otherwise?
Everything. It's going to be
really?
Pinot Noir country, Chardonnay country. There's going to be about 15 different opportunities for wines from that region. We tasted a North Canterbury Cabernet Franc the other day that was from down there. It's fabulous. So North Canterbury is an area of the South Island of New Zealand that's going to be very popular. And this little rosé is from Mount Beautiful, and it's tasty. It's interesting.
It's sweet, but it's not too sweet. And I love the nose.
Yeah, the nose is gorgeous. It's got that ripe cherry flavor in it. Really pretty wine. And a little soft. And you'd want to put this with some Thai food, some really spicy Thai food.
I like it. Julie, your thoughts?
It is very tasty, and I've never tried. This is my first time trying a New Zealand rosé, so thanks, Dan, for bringing this along. It's very tasty.
They typically leave a little sugar because of all the acidity they have. They have lots of acidity in New Zealand.
Wow. I do like this.
It's pretty.
At first, I thought on the palate it might be too sweet for me, but no.
It gets better when you have it with really heavily spiced foods.
I can imagine.
I had an oyster shooter in Maui one time. It was a little oyster in a shot glass with some ponzu, a little dot of wasabi on the side of the shot glass. Had that with, it was actually with our rosé, but I think this would be beautiful with it. It was quite possibly one of the most fun food and wine combinations I'd ever had. And I've since tried to figure out what was that amazing combination, and it was the brininess, it was the soy sauce, the ponzu, it was the wasabi, but it could quite possibly have been the location that made all
it could be. It could be.
That's always something to consider. Definitely. All right. Pedroncelli. Julie Pedroncelli is here along with her husband, Ed St. John. Let's start with the... and Sajiv is here, owner of Bottle Barn. Good to see you, buddy.
Hey, great to be on the show. Thank you.
It's been a while. Bottle Barn bringing you the award-winning, internationally award-winning California Wine Country every week. Julie, start with the right from the beginning. How many years has it been? When did Pedroncelli? It's just an amazing story. That's all I know.
Well, I'll certainly be happy. It started with my grandparents, Giovanni and Julia Pedroncelli, who serendipitously bought a shuttered winery, 25 acres of Zinfandel, and a home in the middle of Prohibition. And supported the family by selling the grapes because at that time, of course, everybody has heard there's head of households could make 200 gallons of wine. I want everybody to think about that for a moment. That's 84 cases of wine. That's one happy family every year. And they then, of course, once repeal rolled around, my grandfather actually applied for the original bonded winery number 113 with the original family and received it from the government. And we went in, dusted everything off, and went into the winemaking business. The next generation, my Uncle John, who was the winemaker and head of the grape growing, and my dad, Jim, head of sales and marketing. And they split the business beautifully between the two of them and had a business partnership of over 60 years. And then there's the third generation, so I'm part of that. Ownership basically has transferred. Now we're at second, third, and fourth generation. All family members, all involved, and all happily marketing our wines or growing the grapes or working in the vineyard, however each one of us does best.
And how did you, Julie, besides, well, obviously the family, that's why you're in the wine business, that's how you learned, but did you study? Did you go to Davis or Fresno or anywhere else to...
You know, I did study, but I didn't study anything about wine. I was an English major with a writing emphasis, so I was headed in another direction completely, and one day I was helping out my sister, who was the tasting room manager at the time, and she was going to have a baby, so I ended up working in the tasting room, and my dad approached me one day and said, "Do you think you'd ever come to work at the winery?" And I was really missing Sonoma County and, of course, the home. And so I decided that I'd make a little change in direction and ended up at the winery. So I'm now 32 years.
Wow.
Working for the family business.
And talk about an iconic name, yeah. And an iconic family in the wine world, Dan.
Long-term commitment to Sonoma County and, in particular, Dry Creek Valley, which is a really wonderful area of the world. At the time that you guys got involved there, Dry Creek was really remote. Nobody knew anything about where it was. You're way out there. But it's a wonderful region. It does have a long history with Sauvignon Blanc, with Zinfandel, and with a lot of mixed red vineyards that were planted haphazardly. I was once told a story by a wonderful grower out there in the Dry Creek. It said, "Well, if this vine that just died over here, this was a Cabernet vine, and it just died. This hole in the ground doesn't like Cabernet. We'll put something else in here instead." And so, after a while, all the vines that died were replaced with stuff that weren't of the original heritage.
Right.
Interesting.
Dan mentioned, you know, being sort of a remote area, and I like to joke that Julie and I grew up in Dry Creek before it was the Dry Creek Valley. It was Dry Creek. That's where, yeah, when we were kids, it was Dry Creek.
Yeah. And who are the winemakers and how many divisions? Because there's J. Pedroncelli. There's Pedroncelli. Get us circled around here so I can try and understand that.
Well, J. Pedroncelli Winery was the name. A corporate name for a long time, and we decided, you know, J. Pedroncelli Winery on a label. We just shortened it a little bit because the family name is still Pedroncelli, so okay, we go by the brand Pedroncelli.
And
so,
John, your grandfather.
John, there's Giovanni / John, my grandfather, was right, the first winemaker. Then my uncle John was the winemaker from 1948 until about 2014. And then he oversaw 60-plus vintages of winemaking at the winery. And now he worked many years with Montse Rees, and she is from Spain, and she is was named our winemaker in 2015.
Okay.
So
wow.
Three winemakers in the history of the company.
For 90 years.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And the first, so Montse is the first woman winemaker and the first non-family winemaker in 90 years.
Well, as I said, iconic Sonoma County family, Pedroncelli. And I believe they are one of the most famous Irish families here in Sonoma County.
Yes, actually, Julie mentioned that, you know, the name being so long, it was tough to fit on the label. I tell people that we're actually Irish, but the name is so long we had to drop the O apostrophe from the label.
O Pedroncelli. My real last name is Vicario. I'm Italian as well. And, my dad and his Irish buddies on St. Paddy's Day used to form this thing called O Vicario's Band. You know, he was the only Italian in it. Anyway, wow, what a story. And as far as Dan, the iconic wines of Pedroncelli over the years, what styles?
Just wonderful. Well, first of all, you have to go back a long ways before style was really an issue. People were just simply making wine. Petroncelli's greatest efforts were pretty much the red wines, I guess, and the whites came along much later. But I think what's really fascinating was to see how that local influence of Zinfandel pervaded through so many of the different blends that you've made over the years. And you've had a lot of different labels. The designs have changed over the years. But Zinfandel really was your calling card. And to a great degree, it's still the heart and soul of what has been at Petroncelli's greatest red wine blends over the years. Even though there might be a varietal on the label, Zinfandel's usually somewhere lurking in the background there.
Definitely. It is our, yeah, we consider it not only the flagship of Dry Creek Valley, it's the flagship of Petroncelli, Zinfandel.
Yeah, it's about 40% of what we grow. And I think probably a little less degree it getting sprinkled around all the tanks than it was in the early days. But it's certainly, it's by far, it's what we do. It's what we love. It's what we drink. I probably drink 10 bottles of Zinfandel, either rosé or
a day
or regular.
I thought he was going to say Dean. Yeah.
I'm not going to put a time frame on that. In fact, the other day I was saying, you know, wine is us. I mean, it's what we do, and we have it, you know, with dinner every day. Sometimes we have it instead of dinner. And
I have done that.
It is a food.
Yeah. Wine is food. Yes, it is.
It's an entire food group.
Yeah. Our guest today.
And it's fat free.
Exactly. In fact, well, I won't go into that, but I lost weight and I still drink wine and it hasn't affected anything. I just cut the carbs, you know. Our guests today are Julie Petroncelli St. John and her husband Ed St. John from Petroncelli. Sajiv, the owner of Bottle Barn, is here, along with our good friend who's with us most weeks, Barry Herbst, the wine buyer at Bottle Barn. You guys, when it comes to Petroncelli at Bottle Barn, I'm sure it's huge for you folks.
Yeah, we carry everything. And just got the rosé in. I think it's going to be here tomorrow. Just put that order in. And Sangiovese, Zinfandel, Cabernet, Sauvignon Blanc.
Merlot, couple of cabs, yeah. Couple of Zins.
Do you guys do any Chardonnays? Did I miss that?
We do.
Yeah, there's a Chardonnay.
Of course, I've had them.
And you can get them at Bottle Barn. They have both of them.
That's right.
The other label, the Friends label, all that. Yeah, they're all good sellers.
Bottle Barn's a huge supporter of Petroncelli.
How's everything going there, Sajiv? What's it been, two years?
2 years in May, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's great. It's been great. Like I've always said, you know, we've been blessed with a great community, with a great team, and spring is here now. Summer's coming. I think we have rain of, I think, next few days, but after that, so yeah, it's been great, and
And of course, you do have an amazing crew with the folks who are in charge of spirits and beer, and of course, the late great friend of all of ours, Ben Pearson, one of the most iconic, and now big shoes to fill, but he's shooed them?
No,
he's filled them. He's filled them very well as the wine buyer, Barry Herbst, so yeah. Yeah, very
cool. Barry's done a great job, and it was a very smooth transition. And, you know, he's a very humble man, very knowledgeable, very mature. So he came into the team, and, you know, we really didn't have much to give him because there was no one to hand over. You know, he really had the patience to
understand
the culture and, you know, blend into the whole thing and then understand the community and then make the community feel as if there's been no gap. And that's exactly what, you know, Barry's done. And we're grateful to God to get Barry.
Right on.
Yeah.
Okay, so Ed, besides marrying Julie, were you in the wine business before that? And what is, you know...
Yeah. What are my credentials?
I've actually had
that question asked to me at an event. This woman said, "So what did you do to get your job besides marry Julie?"
I know everybody thinks that,
but I really actually did have a little bit of experience. I actually grew up in Dry Creek Valley. I've lived in Sonoma County all of my life. My dad was a tractor mechanic for Lamson's Tractor in Geyserville all the time I was growing up. So I've been around the industry my entire life. After it was prunes, then it became grapes. So this has always fed me, well-fed, as you can see. Then I went to work. Alexander Valley Vineyards was my start in the wine business. I like to refer to it as the University of AVV because you get a little bit of everything and you learn a little bit of everything. I went from there after about 8 years. I sold winery equipment and supplies, corks. I sold about 40 million corks a year.
The cork king.
For a long time. So the cork business was good to me, but I was ready to get out of it and talked to Jim, Julie's dad, and he said, well, if you're looking to make a job change, we probably have something you could fill. And so he said, I think you should proceed with terminating your employment. So I gave my notice to my employer, not knowing what job I was going to do at the winery, not knowing how much I was going to earn.
Not knowing you were going to marry Julie.
No, we were already married. By
the way. Oh, okay.
We'd been married.
I thought
14,
maybe that's
14
how
or 15.
No, never mind.
Right. Married 14 or 15 years.
I'm thinking a romantic thing in my head, but no.
Didn't know what I was going to do. Didn't know how much I was going to make. I only knew that it was going to be a lot less than I was making, and I probably didn't know how to do what I was going to do. So I came to work. But I've known this brand literally all of my life. And Julie and I worked on committees and things. And when I was working at Alexander Valley Vineyards, one of the first things I did with our wine club there was set up a tasting at Pedroncelli. Because the wines were always so consistent. It was such a great family story. There was this magnetism to the brand, even when I was working for, a friendly competitor, but clearly a competitor. And I had gone there with my dad when I was probably five.
Wow.
To buy wine to take to his cousin who had an American Plan resort up on Cobb Mountain. And they had a restaurant, so we would take the Pedroncelli up to them. So it's just, that's my connection to the winery. No extended study from a formal standpoint, but a tremendous amount of exposure, especially to the production side.
Sure.
Which makes what I do in sales and marketing even more fun, because I can actually talk the details and the technical aspects of wine with somebody that wants to talk about it. And unlike most winemakers and the scientific side, I actually enjoy talking to people, so it's
obviously
it's a little different there. Yeah,
it's good to be outgoing and an extrovert when you're in this business, especially any kind of marketing and the promotion. All right, we're going to take our bottom of the hour break, and we'll be back with California Wine Country again. Our guests today are Julie Pedroncelli St. John and her husband Ed St. John from Pedroncelli. Of course, my co-host Dan Berger and Sajiv and Barry are here from Bottle Barn. We are about to taste some of the fine Pedroncelli. What have you brought, Julie?
We brought our Sauvignon Blanc 2016, our Mother Clone Zin, our flagship, and our Three Vineyards Cabernet Sauvignon.
Beautiful. All right. We'll be back on the drive. Stay tuned. Time for the twice internationally awarded California Wine Country. It is brought to you by Bottle Barn. Our good friends Sajiv and Barry are here from Bottle Barn. Dan Berger, of course, my co-host. And from Pedroncelli Wines, Julie Pedroncelli St. John and her husband, Ed St. John. Wonderful, lovely people. It's so good to have you in here today. And we've talked about this, the iconic Pedroncelli family name in the world of wines since 1927 in Sonoma County.
That's right.
And we have yet to taste anything. So where are we here?
All right. We're going to start with our Sauvignon Blanc. It's our Eastside Vineyards. We farm 11 acres of Sauvignon Blanc just off of our Dry Creek Road property. It's 100% Sauvignon Blanc without any oak. We have not used oak in our Sauvignon Blanc for many, many vintages.
And I would say no question about that, huh, Dan?
This is really lovely.
Wine.
Yeah. And this is the wine that I would love to serve with some really nice spicy Thai food because the wine is soft but not lacking in acidity in any way. So it has the perfect balance. It's got a real nice regional character. Distinctive varietal components, sort of like a white, what you'd call it, almost a clove and tea component, sort of a dried, almost a gingery note. Beautiful, beautiful structure, and with wonderful acidity, and really needs to have some Thai food to go with it.
Oh, definitely. That would be the perfect pairing.
But wait a minute. I'm the master of homemade linguine vongole.
There you go.
Linguine and clams.
There we go.
That would work great.
The briny dishes would go fabulous with that, but I would also add a little bit of lime or lemon to the dish so that you can offset some of the acidity that's in here, too. Give it that nice contrasting aromatic as well as acid structure. This is a beautifully balanced wine, and if you serve it too warm, it just doesn't really show itself the way it really does when it's served nice and cool.
What you I consider you the lay-down king.
Yeah, oh yeah. This would probably go at least 3 to 5 years and probably longer. I mean,
wow.
The structure is gorgeous.
Sauvignon Blanc, what's the year again?
2016.
Whoa, okay.
Fresh off the
boat.
Yes, and available, guys, at Bottle Barn? Or
yes.
Will be.
No, we've got this. Oh. This is stacked. We got 3 or 4 cases sitting out there.
Instant
ready
wine.
Ready to be picked up.
That is beautiful. Okay.
And reasonably priced, I might add, because there's a lot of wine out there that is overpriced. This is not.
Yeah. All right. What do we got there,
All
Ed?
Right.
Julie?
Ed?
So this is our 2014 Mother Clone Zinfandel.
What does that mean, Mother Clone?
You know, there was this great practice among the old neighbors.
Because when, I think a mother-in-law, and I don't
yeah,
want
no.
to, never wanted to clone
no.
my mother-in-law.
No, but your mother.
Not yours.
Now your mother, you know. So there was this great practice among the old neighbors that when you got ready to plant your vineyard, you would go next door to your neighbor and you would take cuttings from his vineyard. You would borrow wood is the term. And then you would come back and you'd graft it onto your roots and away you'd go and you'd have a new vineyard. And all these old Italian guys living out in Dry Creek Valley, all good friends and good neighbors, so they would take cuttings from one another. There's a little bit of a story, and you know how stories in the wine business goes. We don't really know how true it is, but that one of our old growers at one time, someone asked him, Niven, what is the clone on the Zinfandel? And he said, clone? This is the mother clone. It comes from the mother vineyard. And it just meant that it was somebody knew the best cuttings to take, the ones that had the least virus. And that was where everyone got their cuttings.
Gotcha.
So we coined the term mother clone. It's actually trademarked. It's kind of fun. We coined that term to sort of pay homage to that wonderful old neighborly practice of borrowing wood from your neighbor. So,
Dan,
gorgeous wine,
I'm blown
violets
away.
And black cherries and a little trace of pepper, almost a nutmeg in the aftertaste. I mean, just a gorgeous wine. And there are a lot of Zinfandels out there that are made from riper fruit. This one is from ripe but not overripe fruit. This is just stunning. And it gives you the real character of Dry Creek Valley. Beautiful wine and needs probably some lamb to go with it.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, Mike, do you,
lamb burger.
Mm. Do you have any lamb?
Lamb? I'm thinking lamb with a little rosemary, a little garlic on the grill.
Oh, God.
There you go.
Maybe make a little sauce somehow.
So much for my chicken I was going to cook tonight. Now I got to go get lamb. No, it's not. That is amazing.
Yeah, it's a stunning wine, and as I pointed out a moment ago, is that a lot of these wines that are coming out with 15 and 16 and 17% alcohol, they have nothing on this wine. This wine really sings its characteristics as opposed to it doesn't try to blare. It tries to be elegant. It tries to be more of an aria than it is. It's not just the timpani. It's got a whole lot of other.
And it's what you've come to expect from Petrin Chai.
Absolutely. Structure and balance. Yep.
This is so much just speaks to what we believe in terms of stylistically. You know, people often ask me, you know, what is your favorite thing to pair with like your mother clones in?
Oh, that's good.
Well, frankly, my favorite thing to pair with this wine is a glass.
We have to hang out after this show.
But the great and the nice thing about this and Zinfandel as a category in today's market has changed dramatically since the Petroncellis started doing this, you know, not quite 90. Well, they were growing grapes 90 years ago, but stylistically things have changed so much that now when you hear the word Zinfandel, you immediately think of these enormous fruit bomb wines that are real high alcohol, very luscious in the mouth, and that first sniff and first sip, they're wow, because they're so big and bold, and then you get about halfway through the glass.
Yeah, but you drop one of the W's and you get ow. So.
Exactly. Well, that's what happens the next day.
I always call it about, you know, slapping me in the face.
Yeah,
I
and it
like
is.
That.
And these wines are slapping you in the face, and you get about halfway through your glass and you're getting a little tired of it. By the time you're at the bottom of your glass, you're looking around to see what else there is to drink. And I love this. I think more than anything I love about this wine is you can enjoy a glass, you can enjoy a second glass, and you could actually still focus to pour the third glass. That's kind of a bonus. But it's nice that it's clean enough. It's got that fruit. And we don't, Monse, she's got this wonderful Spanish accent. So some of
the winemaker.
Yeah, yes. Our winemaker. So some of her little terms really come across great. And one of the things she said one day is she said, we don't make fruit bombs, we make spice bombs. And so I sat down with her yesterday, and we actually tasted the 2007, which was her first vintage there. And we were both sitting in the executive room, which is the old family dining room in the kitchen, at the family table. And we're sitting there tasting this wine, and we both were picking up some spice that neither one of us could quite identify. Wasn't quite cinnamon, and we both sort of landed on maybe nutmeg. So when Dad said nutmeg, I went, that was, he's tasted a lot more wine than I have. So if he says nutmeg, I'm going with nutmeg.
Okay. Sajeev?
I have a question. So Dan mentioned that, you know, this brings about true characteristics of Dry Creek, you know. So can you just tell us what are those true characteristics or those signature marks of the Dry Creek AVA that kind of differentiate them from other AVAs? And
I think it's really that combination between the spice and the fruit. To me, all the Dry Creek Valley Zinfandels that I have tasted, really, in whoever the winemaker is, there's always that at the bottom line. And it is that, I don't know, you can't call it proprietary because I think you find spice in other grapes, but I think for Dry Creek Valley and Zinfandel, it's that spicy berry that just nicely in balance, and I think that's its hallmark.
The other thing that I get out of Dry Creek Zinfandel is, you know those little teeny strawberries that are wild strawberries? They're small ones.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. If you ever see those and you're walking through the forest, you pick one, you put it in your mouth, you'll never forget that flavor.
So isn't it interesting, Dan, that whenever you hear people describe Zinfandel, typically it's boysenberry is the berry that they'll or raspberry, I guess, is another one.
Right.
But I think you're right dead on with wild strawberry, because there's a strawberry characteristic to Zinfandel, and especially Dry Creek.
As long as the grape is not harvested overripe.
And you really nailed it when you said it's ripe but not overripe. And I don't know whether you speak a little bit of Italian by now, so where Julie's grandparents are from way up in the northern part of Italy, we're talking 9 kilometers from the Swiss border.
I'm going to say mezza.
Yeah, here we go.
His Italian part of Italy, knowledge.
But Pedroncelli is actually Italian for amazing spice.
Whoa.
That's not true, but it's a good story.
I was just about to ask my business partner, who speaks fluent Italian, if that was the case. And
it's the last name of a very famous family.
Barry from Bottle Barn, your thoughts on all this? And this obviously available at the barn.
We always have the Zinfandel. This is beautiful, very soft. 2 weeks ago, I went to the Zap tasting, where you taste about 60 different Zinfandels. I don't think I tasted one that was in this style and this softness, kind of a nice camphor sweetness in the nose, and just really elegant. Doesn't need to be aged, ready to go tonight, but I'm sure you have bottles that have lasted 10, 15, 20 years.
I had the 07 yesterday. It was beautiful. Yeah.
Dan, how long would you lay this down?
Well, I'm a big fan of drinking Zinfandel fairly young because I've had experience with aging them, and we have a few 77s and 76s in the cellar left over, but bottom line is that you lose so much fruit, and this wine is really an exotic wine. It's from a fabulous vintage of 2014. It's a great, great vintage, and this wine will age as well as you want it to, 3 to 5, 7, 6 or 8 years. But for every additional year,
you lose some fruit.
You lose something.
Yeah.
And why drink Zinfandel when it's lost any of its fruit? It's zesty right now. Just get it and drink it.
You know, not that I have a great palate or anything, but I mean, Zinfandel sort of started letting me down a few years ago because so much of it was slapping me in the face. Ed was talking about, and you know, I kind of just, well, you know, I'm into Pinots and this and that, like Merlot, but this Zin,
totally different.
Yeah. It's silky and smooth and is not hitting me on the head.
But in spite of the fact that it's silky and smooth, it also has good acidity, so it works beautifully with food.
I think that's something that our winemaker Monse talks about often, is that finding the perfect ripeness for Zinfandel is such a task, because Zinfandel is famous for ripening unevenly. So being able to get the flavors of ripeness, keep the acidity, keep the alcohol within reason, and not get that raisin flavor.
Those younger winemakers who walk the vineyard and wait until every last grape turns red, it's too late.
Yeah. Because
pick them early.
On that same bunch, you have raisins.
That's right.
Yeah, and that raisin flavor is going to overwhelm whatever normal flavor is there.
This is spectacular. That's all I
was going to say. A lot of the older Zinfandels I've had have kind of taken on Cabernet sort of characteristics, and I actually miss the young, vibrant fruit that goes away. I mean, it's still a beautiful wine, but it just has different components that aren't there, you know, down the road. When it's young and fresh and right out of the gates like this wine, soft, not really tannic, it's beautiful. And then in time, it just becomes more like a Cabernet. You know, you get one or two notes. I don't know. I just miss the vibe, the spice flavor that you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That's unique to Dry Creek.
And all this is available at Bottle Barn.
Yep. Mm.
Of course, at great prices.
That's if you can find the store.
GPS.
Yes. Three letters.
It's the best secret. They're going to remove the sign like they do in Bolinas. You know,
right.
The secret.
Well, I mean, Bottle Barn. What can you say? I mean,
hey,
guys,
it's where I go to buy wine.
Yeah, well, that's what we say on our commercial that just ran, where Wine Country buys their wine. Yeah. And who wouldn't? And, of course, the beer selection, second to none. The same with the spirits. And what's happening with our sake thing?
Sake, we keep losing our salesperson that was going to come on, so we're trying to find somebody else. But
okay.
The sake department is growing in the meantime.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we are going to get something off the ground. I'm working with Jason on
that. We're going to do a sake tasting.
Yeah.
And then we're working on a rosé tasting also.
Okay.
Yeah.
And rosé is hot right now. We have a great selection over there.
Yeah.
And, one of the things I wanted to mention was, you know, one of the guys at our store today said, you know, we really underplay our team and the knowledge that they have, because our team has a lot of expertise. So I think that's one of the things that we have to start letting people know, that all of our guys, whether it's the wine guys, spirit guys, or the beer guys, all of them have excellent knowledge.
No, and we want to get them on. It doesn't have to be on this show, but on other days of the week. And,
sure.
Who's the beer guy?
Zach is the beer guy. Jason is the spirits guy. And both of them have amazing knowledge.
I think it was Jason who was in.
Yeah, he's been in before, yeah.
Yeah,
he's done
and Zach, apparently.
Zach has not been, but he's shy.
He's shy. That's what Ben Pearson said two years ago. He said he doesn't want to go on the radio, but we'll figure it out.
But the ladies love him.
Yeah. He's easy on the eyes.
I want to talk about the Pedroncelli tasting room, et cetera. We got to take a traffic break, and we'll be back to wrap up California Wine Country on the Wednesday Drive. All right, we are back. Thanks, Michael. 5:52. Let's talk about, let me refresh here. Julie Pedroncelli St. John is here with her husband, Ed St. John, my co-host Dan Berger, and our friends Sajiv and Barry from Bottle Barn, who brings you this fun segment every week. And we've won two international awards over the last 3 years for this segment, and we're very proud. I want to talk quickly about the tasting room. You're open 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. every day, except major holidays and special events. Now, that includes Thanksgiving, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, New Year's Day, and Easter Sunday, and Mike DeWald's birthday. So other than that, you guys are open. Explain where you are and what to do for people who want to visit Pedroncelli.
Well, our door is always open for anybody who'd like to stop by. We're located on Canyon Road in beautiful Geyserville, kind of the northeast corner of Dry Creek Valley. And we have a couple of picnic decks and a bocce court. So if anybody wants to come and enjoy that, they're more than welcome.
I've been there, and I love it.
Oh, wonderful. Well, you get to look out over all the Zinfandel growing right next door to the tasting room, and it's a beautiful view. And I always like the sunset, although if you would like to come out there, it's a beautiful view, and the sun just sets to the west, and enjoy a glass of our Mother Clones Inn or any of our other wines there.
So you, if you come during the week, if you come at lunchtime, you can be introduced to our now world-famous social media icon, Dirk the Dog. He has his own hashtag.
Yes, Dirk. We talked about Dirk last time Julie was in. Yeah.
Hashtag Dirk the Dog on Facebook and Instagram. He loves to be the one that is sort of the reason, he and our grandchildren are the reason that we practice sustainable farming, so that we can make sure that when he comes in after his walk at lunchtime and licks his paws, we're in good shape.
Yeah, Mike says that about me when I come in.
It's that whole licking your, you know, why does he lick his paws? Why does he lick his paws? Because he can. there's another joke there.
We got it.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a different segment.
If we had time, I'd go off on it. But.
The other thing Julie didn't mention is we are celebrating our 90th anniversary this year. So at several of the major events, Passport and things like that, that we're participating in, there'll be some fun giveaways and acknowledgement of that. We're doing an event in August, on August 12th. It'll be likely 11 to 4. The details are still coming together. We're going to do a sit-down tasting, and it'll have some older vintages, and we're hoping that a fellow who we all might be familiar with is going to participate in that. Maybe give us some color commentary that Mr. Berger, we're hoping, will join us for that. Give us some color commentary.
Well, you know, we have to pay him $5,000 every show. So
that's, yeah, I know. He's giving me a discount.
He said he'll take it in trade for wine.
Because I'm sure Dan doesn't have enough wine showing up at his house every day.
Right. No.
Hey, well, so one more thing which you forgot is that Jim Pedroncelli is getting honored as an icon of Sonoma County. You want to talk about that?
Yes, the icons. In fact, Mike, did you print that out? Did I lose it?
Uh-oh.
Pardon me?
It's stuck in the printer.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, because we got some emails today on this. This is the icons of Sonoma County, the wine icons.
Yes.
Yeah, talk about that.
The Sonoma County Vintners Sonoma County Barrel Auction is honoring three members of the wine community, and my dad, Jim Pedroncelli, is one of them, along with Jim Bunshu and Angelo San Giacomo.
Right on.
And it's just a wonderful honor to have him be recognized as somebody who has supported Sonoma County for so many years. I mean, I remember him going out on tour long before I ever went out on the road. And he worked very hard and tirelessly on behalf of Sonoma County in many, many different ways. And so it's just a wonderful honor to have him be part of that.
And one of the nicest men in the history of wine.
Thank you.
And when is that again? Because we've covered this every year.
The auction is April 21st, and we'll have a barrel, one time only, Noventa, in honor of our homage to our home ranch, a blend.
Very cool.
Named in memory of our 90th anniversary.
So, well, Noventa is Italian for 90, and we're doing, the blend is going to be primarily Zinfandel, which is what's been growing on the ranch since the turn of the 20th century, with some Petite Syrah blended in and some Sangiovese. So while it's not actually a field blend, the concept there is it is aiming toward what those field blends were meant to do, and that is to be a great wine for drinking, but clearly very food-friendly, and it's one time only.
Well, every other week on Tuesdays, we have Carissa Cruz from the Grape Growers with Off the Vine. She was in yesterday, and then next Tuesday, Gene Arnold Sessions is back. We do the Vintner's Vibe with the Sonoma County Vintners. So we'll be talking more next week about that whole event and your dad and everything that's going on. It's very cool.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much to Julie Pedroncelli St. John, her husband Ed St. John from Pedroncelli, our friends who bring you the award-winning California Wine Country on KSRO every Wednesday. Sajiv and Barry from Bottle Barn. Thanks, guys. You need to come
Thank
in
you.
More, man.
You don't call me enough. I have to practice it. I like your voice. You know, the whole deep
thank you
voice.
Very much.
I got to get that to you. I thought my voice was deep, but yeah. thank you. It's always fun being on the show.
Yeah,
thank
you very much. We'll call you more. We just figure you're so damn busy, but Barry's in almost every week, and we'll continue, but we got to get you in more. I'm getting 9 seconds now from Mike. Dan Berger, as always, thank you, buddy. We'll see
thank
you next
you.
Week.